Hello, and welcome to Quinn Ebert's CompuTalk show, hosted by me, Quinn Q-Man Ebert. Okay, let's see, what do we have on the agenda today? Okay, I'll just talk about the systems I'm running here. Let's see, machine in the back here, I'm running my business on this. This machine is a PowerPC G3, a Macintosh PowerPC G3, running at 333 megahertz, with 288 megs of RAM. That's I believe that's 132 megabyte chip and another 256 megabyte chip. With a 6 gig, I think it's an IDE, I don't know, it's some kind of a, don't ask me about the hard disk, honestly. Runs SUSE Linux very well. Like I said, you gotta have that. No, I didn't say that, did I? Oh man, what a corny person I am. Well, anyway. What do we have here? Oh yes, this machine I'm recording on here right now. That would be a 700 megahertz Macintosh PowerPC G3, running Mac OS 9, dual booting with OS 10, Macintosh OS 10, dual booting into that. Might not take a minute to talk about OS 10 before I continue with the description of the machine. OS 10 is Apple's next generation operating system based on Unix, FreeBSD, of course. And a very cool operating system if you want robustness, you don't want to have to deal with crashes, obviously, robustness. Everything in that system seems to run a little bit slower than it does, a little bit more slowly than it does on OS 9, which is what I'm in right now. I'm in OS 9 right now. Classic OS, not based on anything special, except for the core, like the, I don't know what they call it. It's the, whatever they code name the classic, you know, the classic OS. Go figure. I have no clue. I'm totally stumped on what they call it. Well, anyway, going back to this machine, obviously it's as I've said, it's a 700 megahertz PowerPC G3. It's got a 60 gigabyte disk on it. I'm assuming it's somewhat of a faster model than the 6 gig on the other machine. This thing's got 256 megs of RAM. Now you're saying the older machine has 288 megs and the newer machine has 256. You're like, what's the deal with that? It just happened that I need to upgrade the old machine, and kind of the guy that did it slapped one of the old 32 meg chips in there. I don't know why he did that. It gives me a little edge, I guess. I guess especially when running Linux, when you have a lot of processes going at once, that kind of helps. Well, you think. You know, the deal. Anyway, just in case you're wondering, if you've ever heard of ebertsoft.com, I am indeed running that, but ebertsoft.com has nothing at all to do with the show. But I would still encourage you to visit ebertsoft.com, because I do run that, as I said. That's http://www.ebertsoft.com. You can learn about my services. I have web hosting on my Linux machine. You can learn about, you know, my products and services. Well, you said that. you know. You can also download some files. I'm considering putting up, now, I haven't talked about this with Sumerian yet, but I'm thinking that in the future, when I get more bandwidth, I might add a mirror of the Rant Radio FTP site, so that they would have a little extra bandwidth. Not much, but a little. I'm only on an ADSL connection with 256 up and 1.5 down. What a combination. I wish I had a little bit more up, but no, I'm not quite that fortunate. What I really want to get is a T3. Okay, in the back, this, I don't know why I'm adding this, but I am. It's my parents' machine. You're going to freak out when you hear this. It's a 2.5 gigahertz Pentium 4 Dell. I believe it's a Dimension 8200. It's got 256 megs of RAM, running Windows. Here it comes, Windows Millennium Edition. You're like, what the heck? Okay, anyway, running Windows Millennium Edition. Let's see what else it's got on there. It's akin to the to this machine right here, the 60 gig with a hard drive space. It's got a 60 gig DVD-ROM, which I'm really trying to get in my next machine. My next machine, I'm hoping will be a 667 megahertz iBook G3. With a DVD-ROM and CDRW, obviously a combo drive. Those things are pretty sweet. From what I hear, you can get up to 6 hours of battery life on that thing. The one I want specifically is the, like I said, the 667 G3 with 640 megs of RAM and, I believe it's a 40 gig hard drive. And, what else? What was I going to say? Oh, man, I lost my train of thought. Sean K is going to really get on me for that one. The sweet thing, the sweetest thing about that machine, the 14.1-inch TFT XGA display. Very nice. I've had a chance to play with it in the stores. I actually went to the Apple retail store in Durham the other day. I live in North Carolina. Go figure. Things are pretty sweet, and I didn't really play around with the PowerBook that much. I felt kind of inferior to it. You know, you see a new machine that you think is too good for you, and you feel inferior. You let a machine get the best of you. On different notes, software. I'm running a big thing with internet browsers in my collection here. I'm running Netscape Communicator and Internet Explorer on the same machine. I can't decide which is better. Each has their pros, each has their cons, and I've narrowed down some of the bugs in each of the browsers, I think. Like, Internet Explorer, yes, they actually had that for the Macintosh, believe it or not. We're at version 5, I believe you guys. The rest of the world is at version 6. The rest of the world being anyone who uses anything but Macintosh or Unix. And Unix on OS 10, of course, is running 5. But from what I hear, we're getting 6 soon, so... yeah. the problems I've found with these browsers are, like, I'm on a ADSL. All the machines, 3 machines in my house are sharing that one connection. There's a slight problem with that. Whenever I have a tendency to fool with things on the router, I like to change the settings, because I constantly have to change the settings. That the router is not the problem here. The browsers seem to have a problem with the router. Like Netscape Communicator, I don't have this problem with Internet Explorer, but I'm about to tell you what my problem with the Communicator and the router is. Whenever I refresh the connection on the router, I'm running a Linksys. I don't remember the model number. It's right here, but I really can't see it right now. It's a Linksys 4-port switch router with a 4-port cable DSL router with wireless access and a switch, 4-port switch. And anyway, pretty nice thing. Best thing I've had in a long time for networking. You're like, a 56K is a little worse than the cable or the DSL, but you're like, I'm like, yeah, I know. anyway, what do we got here? Oh, yes, of course. The problem with the Netscape communicator. I'm running communicator, you're like, upgrade to 6. Well, it stinks on OS, on Mac. Totally stinks. Too slow. Way too slow. It runs better on my PC emulator on my Mac than it runs in the Mac OS. Come on, does that really tell you something? I mean, come on, that emulator is emulating at about maybe maximum 90 megahertz. I really think that's showing something if it runs faster on the 90 megahertz emulated emulator than on a 700 megahertz OS without emulator. So, I don't know what people at Netscape Communications were thinking, but they were obviously thinking something. What else can I say but something? Well, you know, I was just having this thought while I'm sort of on an off note here. Oh, what the fuck? I'm not on an off note. Well, getting back. I'm sorry, I totally screwed. Anyway, back to communicator. I'll get to that off note in a minute. I'll make an off note. Anyway, Netscape communicator. Whenever I change the settings on my router, obviously I apply the settings. The thing refreshes. The router refreshes. I can see the router setup pages on the Netscape. But whenever I try to access an outside site, yes, I'm on DSL. So, and I've confirmed that the thing reconnects every time. And I see it reconnecting. I can see the router setup pages, but I can't see anything on the WAN, you know, the internet, the big network thingy. The big network thingy. Anyway. And I don't have that problem with Internet Explorer. It'll refresh the connection automatically. And if anyone knows anything about if anyone knows anything, like, if you've had problems with Netscape, anything, like, generally, so you have this information. Any comments you have about anything I say on the show, they can be sent through email to Quinn Ebert, QUINNEBERT, at triad, TRIAD, .RR.com. I check that email every, at least twice a day. Usually more. Getting back. Oh, yes. Let's see. Was there anything else about... Oh, yes. Internet Explorer. The problem I have with Internet Explorer, you know, I was saying I have my ups and downs on each browser. Internet Explorer, on Macintosh, it seems to have some problems with some JavaScript calls. Certain JavaScript calls. The whole machine will just freeze up for anywhere from 1 to 5 minutes, and then it will come back in full force. It's just nutty. It's not acceptable to have a 5-minute lockup and then the machine comes back. But anyway, I think at the moment I'm leaning towards Netscape. Because, you know, on a Mac, if you've ever used a Mac before, you know almost every piece of software you install on the thing requires a restart. So, and the things that don't usually want you to restart. So why not? I try to avoid restarts if at all possible. But I guess I should really be going the correct way and letting the machine restart after a restart suggestion. And, I guess it's... Unless I really don't have anything time critical going on around here very much, but when I do, you know, time critical, you gotta get it done. Anyway, but not normally, so. I guess it really wouldn't be that much of a pain in the butt for a better browser with one problem like that, even though it does consume some time to restart your machine. It would be a better alternative than having your machine locked up for 5 minutes, whereas the restart takes about 3 minutes on the machine I have here. So you're losing about 2 minutes of your day every time you Internet Explorer gets one of those JavaScript calls. Also, there's some problems like if an Internet Explorer for the Mac, when I tried to download my Linux distribution, The thing thought that the ISO image file I was downloading, it thought that it was a text file, which it may in fact be, but I personally doubt it since it's a binary file. Anyway, the thing tries to download it to the browser's cache and show it as a text file, which, you know, a big file, that takes a long time to get the first bits of data in. And it slows down the system tremendously, and it's even crashed my browser on occasion, and I do it. I'm stupid. I don't learn from mistakes very often. Anyway, I don't learn from mistakes a lot, and it's kind of a pain in the butt, you know. That's another problem with Explorer, you know. You don't want to have like 10 minutes of your day wasted while something tries to cache something that doesn't really need to be cached, when you could just download it in the form it's supposed to be downloaded in. Okay, I got something else on the agenda right now. At ebertsoft.com, I'm trying to recruit people, you know, preferably white males. I'm not a discriminatory person, but I'm seeing here a vision. White males, anywhere in the age from like 15 to 18, looking. That fits me pretty well. That fits me. I'm looking for those kind of people to be in what I call the Ebertsoft Quake 3 Mappers team. And what we're going to do is we're going to form a team of people that enjoy playing and creating maps for Quake 3, and we're just going to gather together, and any mod teams that are interested can request our services, and they don't ask what that was. I'm in my house right now. Anyway, getting back. We're going to the Quake 3 mapping team, Ebertsoft Quake 3 mapping team, is going to be looking for opportunities from mod teams to help them make their maps. And I'm also hoping that from this group we're going to have lots of people who actually will want to make their own mods, and then the rest of the team will gather together with them to help them make their mod. We can also use some coders. As you remember, I gave you my email address, quinnebert@triad.rr.com. You can email me there and get some information about it, or you could visit ebertsoft.com, www.ebertsoft.com. And for the sake of brevity, I'm not going to spell that out again. Anyway. Whew. Man, I'm out of breath. Let's see what else we got. Sorry about that long spot there. Well, I guess what I should really be talking about now. Let's see. Oh yeah, there we go. Sorry, I was losing track of where I was. I'm really getting into the IRC thing now. You can kind of thank the guys at Rant Radio for getting me into that. It's not really that big of a problem, but I'm getting into it, and the first time I ever got on IRC was to talk with the guys at fragism.com, www.fragism.com. Go there, and they offer some really awesome Quake 3 Unreal Tournament, you know, all the popular ones, the game servers, for rent. And I rented a four-player server for 3 months with them. I think it was like $60. Very, very good customer service. And obviously, since this is Rant Radio and I'm on the subject of game servers, I'm going to take this opportunity to exploit a bunch of people who, not exploit, I hope that's the right word. Anyway, I'm just going to continue. I'm going to make these people, like the give them a bad name. I know that's kind of illegal by the U.S. Constitution, from what I've been studying lately. Anyway, these people are trying to rip people off. Their site does not work. They claim to be hosting game servers. The prices are the same as Fragism's, but they, frankly, they don't give any. They don't give jack worth of service. They don't give shit service. The service, from what I hear, is horrible. But somebody on the these doofuses, the doofuses that are trying to run this ripoff service, they went to Fragism's forums at fragism.com/forums, and they, I believe that's their address, and they posted two messages on different places on the message board advertising their ripoff services. Now, I personally love Fragism. They're like the best, and anyway, I feel sorry for them that they have to be spammed like that. I'm soft. Don't mind me. That's about it for that. I know it sounds like I ended it early, but that was about it. I just had to get that out, you know, venting. Anyway, but I guess what I should really be talking about now, since I'm about out of ideas here. Not ideas. I finished the whole plan for the show, but go figure. I've been working for the past 2 or 3 days. I'm trying to rebuild my business website, you know, ebertsoft.com, www.ebertsoft.com, you know the deal. Anyway, I'm actually going back in software 2 years about. I'm going from the original, not the original, the Dreamweaver 4 by Macromedia. I'm going from that software back to the days of, I guess, 98, 99, 97, with Adobe PageMill 3.0. As you all probably know, Adobe stopped shipping PageMill many years ago. But I like it so much. I know the standard has probably changed so much by now that none of the browsers are going to support it after a very short amount of time, but I'm going to use it while it's still effective. You know, use it to its best ability, because I don't really want to pay for Dreamweaver. I don't have the money to pay for Dreamweaver. And I bought Flash, yes, I bought Macromedia Flash, I bought this SDK, or whatever you call it, the development environment, IDE. I'm having trouble getting that to run. If you use more than 10 high-quality scanned images in that thing, if you don't scale down the images, your system will lock up so bad. I'm not kidding. But on OS X, like, I can leave things running in OS X that are crashed, and that won't really bring down the system. I know it sounds odd that it won't bring down the system, but the multitasking is such in OS X that almost nothing can bring down the system except for, like, hardware incompatibilities, which on the pre-bundled systems don't really ever happen unless Apple made a terrible mistake in just one system. Because I'm running this machine here that came pre-bundled with OS X. It's been rocking ever since, except I can't get Classic to start. I can't get Classic to start with the extensions on, which is something. It's like I'm monitoring the console, you know, and everything. It says that there's some kind of illegal instruction in the Classic startup app. I'm going to have to check that out, talk to Apple about that, see what happens. It may not be a known issue yet. I may have screwed something up, but you never know. Getting back to the Dreamweaver PageMill thing. Let's see here. Anyway, the old design of my site, if you've ever seen it before, ebertsoft.com, not going to say it again because it's driving you all nuts, I'm sure. Anyway, ebertsoft.com, and let's see, what was I going to say? Ebertsoft.com used to be just a bunch of plain white pages. There isn't going to be much of a change except for in the layout. Plain white pages that looked like they were typed up in a word processor or something. But we're going from that to the same thing, only with frames. Imagine that. Frames. What a change. Well, actually it is. You know, everything's better organized. You have the menu on the side. People don't have to click on the figure out, you know, the dumb people. I hate to use that word, dumb, but anyway, the dumb people would have to figure out the difference in the menu every time they loaded the page that had a different menu on it, and they'd have to figure out the level system. I had levels, you know, like the folder level thing for different pages except for the main page. It was horrible. I'm trying to rebuild that and make it a lot simpler to use. And to do that, I'm using a page mill in the Frames Composer. I just call it the Frames Composer, don't ask why. Anyway, it's a lot easier than Dreamweaver because Dreamweaver scatters your files everywhere. And it's really hard to compose frames in Dreamweaver. It's just not my... I'm not really attuned to that difficult of a tool. I think for the professional, I'm not exactly a professional with web page authoring yet, but for the professional, I'm pretty sure a Dreamweaver is what you would want. Obviously, I can see... For most things, I would consider myself a professional, even though I don't really do anything professionally. But, professionally. I had to emphasize that. I don't do anything professionally, but I can see what I mean by professional. I'm a professional. I'm all about the box, and I have to have, like, the latest and greatest to be happy. But I'm kind of scaling back on that, I feel now, because I'm actually going from... I'm going to get a laptop that's actually slower than my current desktop. So, if it's still available at the time. Anyway, I'm looking for a good deal on a laptop. Where was I? If you want to check out the new redone ebertsoft.com, it'll be up, and I'm guessing I plan to have it out in a month. I'm still working hard on it, but I have other things I have to do as well, school, that kind of stuff. But you're welcome to check it out. If you'd like an email notice from me when the new ebertsoft.com goes live, you know my email address, quinnebert@triad.rr.com. Feel free to send me an email and just tell me you want to know when the new site's up. I'll be glad to send you an email promptly when it becomes available. Until then, you can of course visit the old one, ebertsoft.com. The address isn't changing, so you know. The address isn't changing, it's all going to be the same. And I think it's going to really help my business to have this new well-designed site. It looks a little bit more professional than the old, you know, level system, level front page menu system. If you know anything about... Oh, yes, that reminds me. One more thing. We're running out of time here, but I have to get this in before the end here. If you know anything about PHPBB, if I don't remember the site name, if you'd like the site name, email me, quinnebert@triad.rr.com. You're getting sick of that, I know, but... Anyway, email me. I'll give you the address for the PHPBB website. It's like a... uses PHP and I think SQL database to for a bulletin board system. It's like the best out there from what I hear. And I'd really like to get that up and running on my SUSE Linux 7.1 machine. If you know anything about Apache, SQL, and PHP, if you know anything about that, and especially if you know anything about PHPBB, especially version 2, then I'd like to hear from you. Of course, email me. You know the address. I see that we're running out of time here, so I'm just going to close things up, and I know this is boring you all to tears hearing these addresses over and over again, but... by the way, I plan to have, Sumerian, if that's who does this, I'm sorry if I'm wrong, if whoever, let's just say whoever, Mr. X, I love that, Mr. X, if Mr. X, we'll call him Mr. X, if he approves this show, then what I'm going to do is I hope to have an ICQ number by the time of the next show. And, actually I have one now, but I don't know where it is. Don't ask. I'll get you that ICQ number, and you can add me to your buddy list, do whatever. Of course, email address quinnebert@triad.rr.com and ebertsoft.com, http://www.ebertsoft.com. And, well, that's about it. And I look forward to talking to you next time on CompuTalk. See you later.